Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Biz Radio U, pushing knowledge further by spotlighting the best in business.
Hello, everybody. I hope you're having a great day today. I am here with my esteemed co-host, Ryan Smith.
Yep. Nice to be here.
And Brenna Phelps.
Hey, everybody.
How you guys doing today?
Doing
Very
well.
Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How's your week? How's your life after the semester ended?
Oh, it's great. It's like a breath of fresh air, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, same. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, I just, it's like it's been like a second to breathe. I've been hiding this week from everybody. My emails have been piling up, but running after this weekend. And yeah, just excited to actually have, you know, time. Like I invested a lot of time in school this semester and did a lot of great things, but I'm excited to be able to channel all that direction into some other outlets this summer. So I'm really excited. So yeah. We're lucky today. We have a very special guest, a personal friend of mine that goes way back. I can't even tell how long at this point. Sven Coward with Traction. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very good. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing great. So tell us a little about you and your business.
Okay, so Traction is a SaaS platform that helps companies that run EOS master EOS faster and provide organizational awareness throughout their company that they would otherwise not be able to achieve.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, you just dropped a whole bunch of acronyms, lingo. You got just jargon. You got to help us out with this.
Let me go back and I'll explain. So EOS is a business building system designed for primarily senior leadership teams. Senior leadership teams are people like your C-suite, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And EOS is a bunch of tools and disciplines that you incorporate into your company to help you get really focused on what you're doing, to build out your vision, meet your vision, meet your goals, and to create awareness inside of your organization. So ways that, like, for example, one of these tools is every company runs meetings. And a lot of companies really struggle to run meetings because we're terrible at running meetings. We waste a lot of time. You beat around the bush. Well, EOS has something called an L10 meeting, and it's a very structured agenda of this is what you do for 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, or 60 minutes, and 5 minutes, and you're done. And you have, like, it's very strict, and you try to hit that agenda all the time. And then within that is other tools, like the little tools that all kind of come together that help you hit goals, hit targets, and you're constantly aware of what's happening within your company. So it really helps people, especially small, medium-sized people or businesses, grow maturely and actually have a sense for what's going on in their company without having to do too much managerial work.
Well, that's awesome because I guess micromanaging and doing and juggling all those different things can be really taxing, especially when you're starting a business. I mean, there's so many different things going on. I mean, just as a student, just thinking about starting up businesses and things like that. I mean, balancing all that stuff and learning how to delegate your time and everything effectively. That's huge. That's awesome.
Absolutely. And so like you're saying, you know, when you're starting a business, a lot of people the first time around, they have no idea what to do. Like what do I just start building and trying to acquire company or customers? You know, what am I going to do? But this EOS is really designed for entrepreneurial because it stands for entrepreneurial operating system. And it's tools designed specifically for entrepreneurs and people starting companies to build their business. So it makes it the process of starting a company much smoother and much more efficient.
And what are some of the other tools that, because you mentioned the meetings, like that software, but what are some of the other tools that you guys have?
Okay, so I'm sure you've heard of an org chart, like organizational chart within companies where, structure.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing, for example, is in EOS, it's called an accountability chart. And the idea is that it's an org chart, except that there's accountabilities created within the organization through the org chart. And so every person in the seat has, every person in the company has a seat, and their seat has roles and responsibilities, like things they need to do in that seat. So for example, I'm a software guy. So for me, you know, like one of my roles, I need to write code, right? So what you do then, you assign measurables, these things are to a role, and you create a target for yourself. So you'll say like, all right, I need to write, this is just not real measurable, but I need to write 100 lines of code a week or something like that. You know, some kind of number that you can track. And then what happens is, you know, you could, there's something called a scorecard. You put that measurable onto the scorecard, and then it's tracked on a weekly basis or a monthly basis. And just that alone right there creates a lot of accountability within the company, because if you're not meeting the goals, and you set the goals as the person at the seat, right? You say, I can do this. So like, these are things that you should be achieving. And if you're not doing it, it's very aware that something's wrong. It might not necessarily be that person's fault. It might be a process issue. But it essentially uncovers all the issues that are existing within the business, because to be successful, there's very defined kind of things that you have to do. I mean, it's different for every business, but you should know. And so you try to track all those. And by tracking all those, you gain incredible organizational awareness and what's actually happening. And then, for example, your L10 meeting, right? So the way that goes is it starts with a segue section, which is like everyone just checks in, almost kind of like how you guys did right in the beginning of this, where you're like, how's life? You know, it's transitioning from life to business. And then after that, you review the scorecard, you look at the scorecard. And so every week you're seeing like, hey, is something falling behind? Where do we need to step it up? What are we missing? And if there's any problems, you do something called, you create an issue. And then I'll get to that in a second. That's really important. So then you move on, you check out your rocks. So your rocks are quarterly goals that every single person gets, like things I want to achieve in a quarter. So they're kind of like longer term to-dos in a sense. And then the next section is headlines. And that's just you're sharing any customer, client news, or internal employee news, anything bad, anything that team that you're currently having this meeting with needs to be aware of happening internally or externally inside of your company. And then you check out your to-dos, and to-dos are usually 1 week, but sometimes you set the dates different, but things you have to do working inside your business, like not necessarily your day-to-day job kind of thing. You wouldn't record that, but like, hey, I need to reach out to this third party because XYZ. And then there's the issue that they call in EOS, it's IDS. I believe it's identify. I don't remember.
What it's You're called. Good. If you could just explain it enough.
IDS is the longest section. It's 60 minutes within the L10 meeting, and the essentially what you do, all these issues that you find throughout the week, like anytime, you know, like I can open up the app and enter an issue throughout the week that might come up, like, hey, so and so's performance is bad, like he's not getting any work done. We need to discuss it on one of the team meetings. So you create this issue. And then you prioritize your issues, and then you always try to hit the top three. That way, you know, every single week we're making some kind of progress of solving these issues that are going to come up when you're trying to build a business. And you work the issue and you come up with a solve. And a lot of times when you solve an issue, it becomes a to-do to carry some second action out. And then you conclude the meeting and you wrap it up. But so through like, and the beautiful thing is about it is like, you know, you set these rocks and these to-dos, and when people aren't hitting them, you're very aware of it. And it's important that people are hitting them all the time, because, you know, if people are lagging behind, your business is, there's something wrong. And so that through that process, it creates a lot of organizational awareness where, you know, actually, hey, I need to fix this part of my business, or I need to make some changes here. And So that's pretty much it. There's a bunch more. Like, I mean, I could talk about this for hours on hours.
yeah.
I mean, it's like there's, oh gosh, I don't even know the number, but I know it, like, it's probably over 40 different wow. little tools. Like, for example, there's one called, this is a really important one. It's called the VTO, Vision Traction Organizer. And it is a 2-page business plan. And it gets, the goal is to get your company aligned, working all forward into the same direction and getting laser focused on what's important. And you're challenged to set up, you know, your company core values that you then hire and fire against, and create marketing strategies, identify who your niche is. And then you hit like your 10 year, like, what do you want to be revenue wise in 10 years? And what do you want to be in profits wise in 10 years? And all these kind of things, you know, what are your 10 year goals? And then the senior leadership team would create this, and then the core values and other things will cascade down to other teams, like the teams below the senior leadership team. And so everybody would share the same core values. And then, for example, there's something called the People Analyzer. And this is, so this, you, this I'm kind of trying to show like how all this stuff is interconnected. And so the People Analyzer, for example, you take your core values and you rate your people against them. And if they don't meet, then you don't really want them in your company, because you're not going to be working towards the same goal for the same motivation and things like that. It's a lot, it's a bunch, but when people, I mean, these are time-proven tools that people have been using for a long time, and show that if companies implement this, you know, and I mean, it's not like a terrible idea kind of company, if like it's a legitimate company, they will become much more successful.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, because there's so many moving parts when you're just starting up a business, and when it takes mm-hmm. off, like all of that. So to be able to have that, the platform that you have to help aid them in with all those different things, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. So what's the level to enter here? Do you need like an MBA to be able to understand all of this, or?
Oh, no. Like, no, I mean, I haven't even graduated college yet. And fortunately, you know, like I've been working. So there's some called an EOSI, which is an EOS implementer. And they go into the companies and help companies implement this into their business. We have two of those on at Traction, our visionary and sales guy. Both of them are EOSIs as well. So, I mean, I get firsthand experience from learning from them. But there's a really good book called Traction, but it's not with an X. It's TRACTION. And it spells out a lot of the tools I just described. And it's a really great book. And I've heard some companies that they read the book and then they try to, they call it self-implement EOS. It's really not good, because you need an EOS, like you need an implementer there to be kind of outside of the business, because you know,
kind of like a third party, yeah.
Yeah, because you get really emotional, right? Like, it's like, if this is your business, there's some emotional draw to it, more than likely. But this guy is, you know, stepped away from the whole process. So, and he actually knows, you know, he's been doing this for years and years and years in most cases. So he's very well versed, and it is a lot. So it's easy for you to do something wrong, or, you know, get sidetracked and things like that. But what makes Traction so great is that, this is one thing I firmly believe, is that it allows companies to master EOS faster. Like, you know, they could read the Traction book, and with the help of an implementer, they could get to mastering it a lot faster.
Yeah, definitely. So if I'm a small business owner, I'm looking to start my own business, how would I be able to reach out to you guys, or, you know, how would the process go about implementing your systems?
Yeah. So if you're a small business, the first thing I would tell you to do is to go read the Traction book, and then just check us out, traction.io. And you can actually reach out to us. There's like a chatting platform. It'll contact one of us, and we can get you hooked up to an EOSI, or you can just go directly to EOS. Their website is EOSworldwide.com, and get an implementer through them. That's...
So you guys are pretty user-friendly. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I know like people like me and Darren, we're not really like tech savvy, like computer savvy, like the abbreviations.
Whoa, speak for yourself there.
Well, at least for me. So, I mean, I don't need to know what these abbreviations stand for. I need your guys' help. So,
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting. You do like, you kind of have to learn the system to really use it. But it doesn't take much to learn it. I mean, the book is very easy to read, well written. It's not like a textbook kind of deal. The Traction book has been a number one bestseller on Amazon business section for a long time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you said you're still in college and everything. So you started this and while you're still in college and juggling all of that, where did this all start?
So I used to... how far back do you want me to go?
The beginning.
All right. So I used to work for a company called Syrup Marketing. Absolutely amazing digital marketing agency. They're in Atlanta as well. And the owner of that was Benj Miller. And it was like August of 2016. Benj approached me. No, 2015. Sorry, August 2015, and was just like, "Hey, I need you to, like, I have a pitch to investors in a week, or I think it was like 3 days. It was some ridiculous timeline."
Yeah.
And he was like, "I need you to build me like a UI prototype and make it look like it's working, just so I can show them what my idea is." And so it started with that, and then I just spent 3 days just hammering out code.
Yeah.
Some things happened. We had to change directions. But anyways, December 2015, because he just got me to build out that prototype originally. And he was like, you know, can you start building this software for me if, you know, like, yeah, we partner up and we start this company together? And I was like, yes, absolutely. But I'll need just one person of help because... I still am in college, and I'm still got to keep my day job so I can live. I told him I just need one other developer to help me, and if we have two developers and you, then we can definitely get this thing going. And then the guy that I was thinking about was a good friend of mine, Eban Bisong. You know him, Darren?
Oh, yeah. All too well.
So I got him on board, and so then we spent about... Oh, man. I think it was like 6 months after December. So it was like May or June of last year. So we built out this app already. And then we partnered up with Mark and Chris, Mark Abbott and Chris White. And they're EOSIs, and they had a vision to do this. And they've had this vision for a while to build software for EOS. Partnering up with them was awesome. Very good experience. And they really helped us get the vision and direction and connections that we need into the EOS world. And then it was like August, we decided, all right, we need to completely rebuild the entire application because the first one was really just like an MVP sort of deal. And we did that. And then, I mean, now we're here. Yeah, it's exciting. So we have 100 companies. I think we reached 102 yesterday. We had 100 the day before. I don't remember exactly, but we just breached 100 companies on the platform, and we didn't. And we're still. It's very early on for us still because we're trying to.
That's awesome.
Thank you. The demand for it is really great, but we have to make sure that we have the people to scale effectively and not overburden and have a bunch of issues from that. It's really great right now. And we're just in a massive, like, we're like 2 seconds away from hitting the launch button to open the floodgates kind of deal.
And how is that going from that transition from like startup mode to rapid scaling to keep up with customers?
I mean, we're still very much in startup mode. I wouldn't say we're out of that. You know, like I'm sitting in like four or five seats right now, which that shouldn't be the case. No, I mean, it's okay if somebody has like one or two. Everybody has to have one. But, you know, as a startup, it's like you're doing everything under the sun because there's not that many people. But no, I mean, it's
if going. Only, if only there was a software system that could help out with that, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be great, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, no, I mean, it's going fine. It's pretty smooth right now. It's not that many issues that we're experiencing. Okay. And that's, I attribute that mainly because we have great leaders who've already done this, you know, like Benj Miller started, I don't even know what number of business this is. He's like on his fifth or something like that. Mark Abbott has done the same thing. And so has Chris White.
And how did you reach out to them to get them to invest their time and knowledge into you?
So Benj talked to, I believe, I don't remember exactly, but Benj talked to Mark. Like Mark found Benj or Benj found Mark, and they figured out that they both are trying to build software for, or want to build software for EOS. So they kind of built a relationship. And actually, funny part about that is Chris and Mark actually rejected us the first time that we pitched to them. And so that, and then we spent about 2 to 3 months totally ramping up the app and getting it to a place where it was very appealing. And then, you know, we just had to, that we talked again to them, and they wanted to make it one family and build a tribe. And so now we're here.
That's awesome. So it sounds to me like you guys said you were rejected the first time. I feel like a lot of, you know, entrepreneurs, they experience the struggles and they may not succeed at first. So do you have any advice, you know, to give to young entrepreneurs like yourself?
Yeah, you just got to keep pushing. Like before, I mean, there was like two more failures before that.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I mean, we knew it was a very viable idea. It's something that could be.
So you just got to believe in yourself, you know,
yeah,
believe in your product.
Yes, 100%. You have to see the vision. You have to know, like, this is useful. And this will provide value to people. And if you truly believe that and know that, then you just need to keep pushing. I mean, failures are going to happen. It's discouraging at times. It's very discouraging because you're like, oh, man. But you just can't dwell on it. Move on. Learn from it, right? Because in every failure, there's a lesson to be learned. And you learn that lesson, and then you move on, and you keep trying. And sometimes it's totally changing directions. Right. I mean, not every idea is great. So it depends on the situation. But I would tell everybody not to get discouraged because you will fail, and you're going to fail even as you're building the business. Right. Not just at the start. You're going to keep failing. And hopefully the failures get smaller and smaller and smaller. Right. And you just keep learning and you keep learning. I mean, it's all a learning experience.
Definitely.
So another question I had. So what type of, is there a specific type of companies that this works for better, or is it just across any industry?
It's across any industry. EOS has proven to work for essentially any company.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because these are just, I mean, they're very specific tools that are generalized to work for a lot of people. Yeah. And I mean, the thing is, though, it's really meant for building your business internally. It's not like a project management solution or something like that.
So I mean, when, like, we all start off thinking we're gonna do, this is where we want to go with our lives, this is what we want to do, how did you get into this, like, field of work? Because I've known you for a long time. When you told me you were doing that, I was like, yeah, that sounds incredible, that's awesome. But I didn't put the two together.
I've always had a goal freshman year of college. I told myself I wanted to own my own software business before I left college. And so it's just something I tried to do, and it ended up working.
It just ended up working.
Yeah,
by
there's
accident.
There's, I mean, no, not by accident. I mean, a big thing is, I really truly do not think most people understand the amount of commitment and hard work and how many hours you have to spend to do this. Like, you're not going to start a business if you're just spending 5 hours a week trying to better yourself as a person or improving your skill set, and then going to build something successful out of this in a fast time anyways. But I mean, you know, sophomore year, I remember sophomore year and junior year of my college, I was in books, like computer books, like coding books for like four hours a day sometimes for wow. like 5 days a week. So like, I mean, it takes a lot of willpower to push through all of the learning that you have to do, especially if you don't know it, right? Like if I were to do this again now, it's going to be much easier because I don't have to do all the other things I've already learned. But yeah, it's hard work, and it's not to be underestimated.
So what's your typical work week? Like how many hours do you say you clock in?
Between all of it, like should I count school or should I not?
You still had to juggle the school as well.
Yeah, that's how I look at it. I mean, typically, oh man.
Yeah, because the way I look at it, like to me, school, like my like career and school are the same thing. My job, school,
yeah,
is part of it.
Definitely.
Okay.
Like as I learn, I implement things from class, and it's much more powerful than just saying, "Hey, I'm going to get this class, this school, my degree, everything done, and then I'm going to tackle the world." No, when you start tackling the world, and everything starts to make sense. Mm-hmm. My classes started to make sense to me. Like I was like. Like I'm in psychology classes and like I understand how that relates to business now, and it's right. really eye-opening. So
yeah so I would say, you know, like you go through phases.
Yeah,
like there's phases where I've worked 12 hours a day for 7 days straight, week after week after week, but there's also phases where I'm just working like a normal 40-hour work week. But when you're early on, you know, like August through December, that was, I mean, I really learned a lot about myself and my capacity to how much I can do, because I was still trying to juggle work, traction and school. And at that point, we were like, oh, we have to rebuild the entire application. So there was so much work to be done. And during that time, I worked at least 80 hours a week.
Wow.
Every single week. So yeah, it's hard work.
And would you trade it for anything else in the world? Or
No.
Yeah.
I think starting businesses is one of the best things you can do as a human being, because you get other people jobs, and there's nothing better, especially when you run a system like EOS, where it helps you focus on the business when it's business time, and then you can detach from it and, you know, enjoy your family, enjoy your time with your friends or whatever else you're doing. But building businesses and creating one is really, it's a very good thing for society, because you give people jobs, and that's really important, right? And hopefully you're a good company, so you give them good jobs and something that they are proud to be a part of, and they feel like they're part of a tribe within that organization. So no, I wouldn't give it up for anything else.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that, because I've asked similar questions to a whole lot of entrepreneurs, and I think you're one of the first people to give me that answer, and I love that. Like, to create jobs and actually, you know, actually have a positive impact on society just from that aspect, it's awesome. I love that. Yeah, so just before we wrap up, I want to ask our last question. That is, if there's one thing you know now that you wish you knew when you're starting out, what would that be?
There's one thing I know now that I wish
I
knew.
That's a tough one, but yeah.
Okay.
Like in those 80-hour work weeks, what have you learned that you could tell yourself when you're starting out?
I wish I knew how to manage a project, like do project management work. And I wish I knew what I thought I knew, but actually didn't know, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
right. Like, definitely. You know, because you think, oh, I know this stuff. And then somebody with 30 more years of experience is like, nope.
And what about project management in particular?
So we do, because we're a software company, so we do something called Agile, And it's similar to EOS, right? So these are like systems you implement inside your company. Agile is a software development system, or software, sorry, project management system. Originally, it started with just software teams, but now it's everybody, like even business teams are using it. And essentially, like just understanding how to utilize that to effectively be able to project timelines and hit like dates that you this has to be done by this date.
Yeah, meet the deadlines.
Meeting deadlines and things like that. And how to effectively do that. That's a big thing that we struggled with early on. We've gotten much, much better at doing. And you know, a big issue was that me and Eban are still pretty young, so we weren't ever in a position where we had to even utilize that kind of system. So it's learning that system firsthand through experience. That was kind of a challenge, but we made it through.
Yeah, that's awesome. So for our listeners out there, what's the best way to contact you?
LinkedIn. Yeah,
LinkedIn. And for your, to get your company's information if they want to do business with you, or
go to traction.io, and there'll be a little chat button at the bottom right, and you will be greeted by someone named Christine, wonderful person, and she will get you hooked up to whoever you need to be hooked up with, or just get you right onto our software.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for coming out today. Once again, I am Darren Parkinson.
I'm Ryan Smith.
Brenna Phelps.
And we're BizRadio U, pushing knowledge further by spotlighting the best in business.